Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Brewery post-game wrap-up for the Civil War, which, by the way, ABC was calling it the Civil War all day long. So we're going to just go ahead and call it the Civil War. If branding hasn't changed to that point, then let's go ahead and just roll with Civil War. And by the way, Alex at TSB Pod, Ski at TSB Ski, King at Jeromney, I believe King is there. He's at somebody else's house, so he's just going to kind of drop in when appropriate. I brought up the question in our Discord, Sports Brewery for the Discord. Is this the worst collapse you have seen from Oregon ever? The only comparable game to
TCU
was TCU in the Alamo Bowl. And, you know, I had a buddy via text like mention there were no real stakes in the Alamo Bowl. And so the Alamo Bowl, not so much like as big a deal when there was so much writing on this you know, Oregon wins the game. They go into the, you know, they make the Pac-12 championship. They have a chance to go to the Rose Bowl. Now they lose this game and they are out. So what I guess I my opinion, since I brought up the question, I feel this is also worse than the Alamo Bowl. In the Alamo Bowl, you were dealing with an injury to your starting quarterback to where he could not play, and an injury to your center to where he could not snap. In this game, you have your starting quarterback, can't run as much, but the way the defense collapsed, the way the offense was just completely inept in every big play situation in the second half, I feel like this one was worse.
Well, what was the biggest collapse of the three coaches? Dillingham, special team Bobby Williams, or Tosh? I mean, which one was the one that I guess essentially lost the game?
It's all of the above, right? Like what did?
Because I think it took all three for them to melt that bad.
What did Boogle?
All three.
So Boogle said it before we started. He was like, "Bad offense, worst defense, worst special teams." I kind of agree.
Yes.
It took ineptitude in every facet of this game for Oregon to lose this game. They had a 31-10 lead with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. You have to make a concerted effort to lose a football game when you have a 21-point lead with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. You have to try. Like your offense, you're literally like one score from your offense and like you're good.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
or one stop on defense.
One stop on defense, and you're good.
Was that clock running at all? Because like I said, with like 3 minutes left, up three touchdowns, I was like, all right, you know, this is end game here. You run the ball, the clock should be running the whole time. I swear, like 45 minutes later, it was like just the start of the fourth quarter. I don't know. And there was like four or five possessions. I don't know what happened.
Especially because Oregon State was running the ball primarily. Like that's all they were.
Only.
As a matter of fact, only. Not primarily, they were only running the
only.
Ball. Like they literally didn't throw a pass and they still somehow came back. So that's where you make like a tackle in the backfield or you stop them from getting a first down on a run and the clock runs for a few minutes. But it was like chunk run play, chunk run play, chunk run play, touchdown.
It's how the Oregon offense
had
looked earlier in the year. Just 8-plus yards every touch.
Absolutely.
But here's the bigger thing. It's like, all right, they're up the three touchdowns there. The Beavs go down and score real quick on all run plays.
Yeah.
Like, Fenwick, all right, right? Maybe you took a little break there. You know, think you kind of got a little lazy. Okay. But then you have to come back after that and, you know, shore up your defense. The defense essentially just quit playing football up those three touchdowns. And there was a pretty much zero adjustment out of Tosh.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, what's to adjust to? You know, like you're going against run plays. So is it just that the defense was getting beat? Because if they're just run plays, like where you're just running off tackle, running up the middle, gaining 15 yards a play, like what adjustments do you make there? Like, so, you know, WCP54182 says stack the fucking box. Like, okay.
Yes.
Like, Oregon could have stacked the box more, I guess, but they're also just flat out getting beat. Like, Oregon State was beating them. The offensive line started winning their battles. They were getting big chunk plays in the run game. So,
that was right when Mark went out too, yeah, which was insane.
I think, honestly, the bigger fuck ups were the special teams.
Yes.
Because if you're giving them a touchdown with a botched punt where he just, you know, fumbles it, falls on it at the 1 yard line, that's a free touchdown.
If you're letting that, no
time off the clock.
No.
They come back, get another score right there, humongous. And then the kickoff, which, by the way, like, I almost don't want to give Hudson crap for that one because the way the ball bounced is incredible. It's like if Oregon State's going to come back and win.
They're catching now, though. Just catch, do your arms out and catch it, and it's a touchback.
That's what I said, too. Like, if you're going to call fair catch and you have any doubt, just...
Well, clearly Lanning thought the same because Bucky was back there returning the kick after that. But is there any... There is no reason this punter kid should be kicking in a game the rest of this year.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was drunk or hungover. The first one, everyone saw the... punt block pressure coming from OSU, and he just nonchalantly grabbed it, and if you can see him, he like flips it in his hand before he punts it, before it gets blocked.
Yeah.
And then the other one was just a straight shaky hand drop. He's not even a good punter to start with. He can't be making these kind of mistakes.
Yeah. And then the other big play, a fourth down, I don't know what you want to call that, from Bo Nix. So my question is, I would imagine the situation on that is that Oregon empowers Nix to make that decision.
I don't think it was a read option at all. I think it was a called play for him.
Do you think so?
He didn't read it. If he did, that end went straight at him. He didn't go down the line at all.
He hands it off to Bucky. Bucky walks for a first down. Yeah.
Yes. I don't think it was an actual read option. I think that was designed. Them just thinking like, oh, you guys think Bo's hurt. We're going to pull this out and just let him run.
In an absolute replay, identical situation from the Washington game too. It's like, we heard from Lanning after the game. It's like, you know what? That's on me. That's a mistake on my part. We're not going to do this again. You know, like... Clearly, he didn't learn.
Well,
so it's an identical situation. You did the exact same fucking thing you did 2 weeks ago, and you fucking missed it again. We talked about it against Washington. What's the risk reward there? What's the reward? You get a first down and you run like another minute or two of clock. That's your reward. Like, why are you running that play? Punt the fucking ball, man. Like, I understand. I understand you had the punt fuck up. I get it. The situation does not, there is no logic in going for it there. Fuck's sake, man.
Is that your play call though? Also, if let's say you decide you are going for it, right?
Yeah.
Are you really, that's really the play call you're running with a hobbled Nix? But here's the question before that. I thought I put it in the Discord. I got no responses, obviously, but
yeah.
On that absolute dime he threw to Bucky on that second down and on the third down play, I could have swore he easily got the first down there.
Yeah, that too.
I thought he got it.
And they didn't even look at it. Like he caught the ball. Like, so we were blocked by the sideline, obviously, but where he came down, it was like on the line or at least a yard. Like
they showed a behind shot of it coming out of after the play. And I thought it looked like he easily got there.
Yeah. So a message from our chatters, you know, we asked the question, who's more to blame here, special teams, offense, or, you know, defense, and overwhelmingly it's Tosh. So
Tosh?
Yeah. Pretty overwhelmingly people are saying Tosh in the defense. You know, Debo says defense didn't have an excuse for not showing up.
The thing is they did. I thought they did for 3.5-ish quarters of the game. I thought they looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Then I don't I don't know what, you know, what switch flipped in them to just get so passive. I mean, they were struggling tackling in the first kind of drive or two also, but it went to a whole nother level. I don't know if the linebackers made a tackle in that last quarter. Everything got to the second level, the safeties and corners come up to make the tackle.
It's a perfect recipe for blowing a lead and losing a huge game. You know, everything that needed to happen for Oregon State to win happened. It really was like you sit back watching it and you're just like, how is this happening? Like we've all seen this before, but it's like, how does that level of ineptitude happen? Like the fumble on the punt, the amazing bounce on the Hudson play, the fourth down call by Nix, you know, not being able to stop them at all. Then you get a completely phantom pass interference call against Troy Franklin. Like that, like the third down play where they threw to Franklin in the end zone and they called PI against Oregon State. That was not even close to pass interference. And so then they get a free set of downs from the 5 yard line and you give it to Jordan James 3 times in a row.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, Dillingham doesn't have it's either the basic same run over and over again or some crazy insane trick play shit. Is there not just a normal set of a pass there? I didn't even like the fourth down call with the rollout by Nix. You know, his ankle hurt. He was shorting balls the whole game when he rolled out and had a plant on his back foot there. I don't know. I did not. That was one of the worst things to me offensively.
Yeah.
Was that series on the goal line.
I fully understand. Like, Jordan James is your short yardage running back. I get it. He hasn't played in about a month. And so, you know.
He had one carry early in the game. I think that was it.
I don't know. Like, the way Whittington was running, you know, he was impossible to tackle at first contact today. So you give it to Whittington. I kind of trust him a little bit more. You know, veteran guy.
He looked a lot better than Buckley the whole, today.
Because by the way, like, so again, like on Dillingham, he ran that play where you shift the two offensive linemen to the left side and then you run the play to the left side. It's like literally everybody on earth saw that play coming. Every single time you ran it, it's you're running to the left side. It's obvious, it's really easy to stop, and sure enough, Oregon State, who has a good defense, if you're telegraphing your plays, is going to stop it. And they did. On one of those plays, James was running to the left. He had Wach leading to the outside. A more veteran, experienced, warm running back possibly would have seen that and bounced it to the outside. But James, being the short yardage guy that he is, just lowers his shoulders into the line every single time. And it's if it's there, he's in. If it's not, there's no chance he's going to score.
Right. But here, so Ducks are, you know, as a whole, a pretty good running team.
Yeah.
How do you not have a play action pass play scripted off that? You know, get a tight end, you know, in a leak out or in the flat or something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the play they ran on fourth down, like the rollout, I thought that would have been a better play for like second down. Because remember, they ran that play earlier in the year and Franklin scored on it. And so this time it was Coda, and Coda comes in motion and then sprints to the flat. And it's like, okay, so then you roll him out. Coda's the first read. If he's not there, then you come back across the field and find him. That would have been a better play for second down. And then if you don't get it, then okay, then things still remain open up and you can sort of go from there. But again, Dillingham, so, you know, Booble mentions it. They got full of themselves. They were dominating through 3.5 quarters, and thought they had it in the bag. And I think you're absolutely right. And
well, also, I mean, there was, like you said, a lot of things. If Nix hits a wide-open Ferguson, if he just puts a little air under that ball,
yeah,
I mean, he could have scored, but it's at least just a massive, you know, massive play there.
Yeah. You want to try and invite King? I have an inability to do that, so you want to try that. While you're doing that, Booble mentioning that he just saw a report that Arizona State just hired Dillingham.
If I don't know if you noticed, but the line switched kind of 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours before the game.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ducks were favored. It switched to Beavers favored by like point and a half, I think, in the end.
Yeah.
The point spread flipped to Beavers favored right before, and people thought it was Bo Nix maybe being out. And then I saw a big contingent of people that might have known that Dillingham was gone after this game.
Yeah.
So someone must tip someone off, and they must have hammered it, even though Ducks should have still easily won this game.
Yeah, yeah. King, we can't hear you, by the way. I think you're muted. So again, we're just now seeing that Dillingham is going to Arizona State, and I think, frankly, it's hard to say this, just because.
Hear me now.
Yes, we got you. It's okay. So it's hard to say.
Dillingham threw this game.
Yeah,
throw this game.
But this game, and then the game before it, and then the game before that, with Dillingham, I think we're kind of like, yeah, okay. Have fun. take Ty with you.
I'm, you know, understand him leaving makes sense perfectly. I would have liked him to stick around a little longer.
Yeah,
I think he could have easily adjusted on some of his dumb bullshit stuff he does.
So, since I'm just getting on,
so
are you guys putting this on Lanning or on Dillingham?
Tosh.
Yeah. Well, we know Tosh sucks.
Yeah.
But Tosh was up 34-10 or whatever it was, 31-10 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So
I threw some on Bobby Williams, by the way.
If you're giving me the
option, I know you love him.
If you're giving
love Bobby Williams.
If you're giving me the option of two to blame, I'm choosing Lanning.
I'm out on Lanning. Guy sucks.
Ooh.
He's Brandon Staley. He's Brandon Staley for the Chargers. He went, you know, like I've said before, he went like 7 for 7 or 8 of 8 on situational gambles through the UCLA game, and he hasn't made one since. And he's fallen in love with it. Dude, fuck off. Kick a fucking field goal in the first quarter, wherever it was. Don't go for it at your 29 with a quarterback who cannot run the ball. That was coaching malfeasance. Oregon has bad coaches.
So many decisions were coaching malfeasance. So
they,
you know,
we
talked about
the
it
difference between Lanning and Staley, though, is that Staley never changed. Lanning, it's his first year.
He never changed either. He keeps going for it.
He's only what, 11 games in?
He went for it 2 weeks ago at his 29, didn't get it, and they ended up losing. And they did it again.
Yeah, we talked about that before you joined on.
I'm sure I'm playing the hits.
No, it's okay. I'm just letting you know. This is what Lanning said after the Washington game. Is that it was on him. He's, you know, he's learning from his errors, blah, blah, blah. You know, essentially the message is never going to do it again. And then he literally comes out and does the same exact fucking thing 2 weeks later. My guy. Like, I hear you. Out? I'm not sure I'm ready to be out.
I'm out.
I think he's
he'll win games because the Pac-12, which he'll sue me in the Pac-10, stinks, yeah. And Oregon has some decided advantages. Dan Lanning is a defensive coach. Dan Lanning coaches one of the teams with the worst defense in the fucking country, and Dan Lanning cannot make a situational play. Like I said, he went 7 for 7, so obviously he can. You know what I mean? Like, he's a gambler. Why are you gambling? Just kick the field goal. You're at the 7.
Especially
the ball. I don't care that your defense is giving up a million yards, because even though you're a defensive guy, your defense fucking sucks. You do not have the player who was the gravitational like pull for your offense.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You cannot run the ball.
Yep. It's one, if you're full health, everything, sure, go for it on fourth there. If you have a fully healthy Bo in offensive line, but you didn't have him against Washington, and you had a hobbled Bo here. Why take the risk when he's not 100% there?
But,
and then why call that play of all plays?
Like I said, I've entered this late, but in 14 days, we have gone from playoff talk to they are not playing in the Pac-12. How? I mean, I know how. We watched it. But my God, dude. My God. I've seen enough. It was cool when he was swinging his dick around and swinging the sword and every fourth down made it. It was never sustainable. Never sustainable. But
going for it on fourth down at midfield, a little different than going for it on your own 29, of all things. It's like, even with a sieve of a defense.
My point to Ski earlier on that was the risk reward. Like, the reward is you get a first down and you run like another.
Well, and that's the thing is that's why I'm doing like the Brandon Staley comparisons.
It's logic.
Because that's what Brandon Staley did in the season finale last year against the Raiders, where they were up 10 at the time, and they're 19 in the third quarter. They're up 10. And he's like, you want to know what? I'm going for it on fourth and one because I have a tall quarterback. They don't get it. Raiders score a touchdown in 2 seconds. The game is all of a sudden a 3-point game. Sometimes you just have to play. I know we hated Mario Ball, and I'm not saying Mario was this surgical tactician. Sometimes punt the ball, kick the field goal. Holy shit. Even if your defense sucks, you want to know who really sucks? The quarterback on the other team who threw for 60 yards today. He completed 6 passes. They were like, wow, it's been 4 hours and 10 minutes since they even threw a ball. Punt it to them. Punt it. You're like Bucky and Whittington, and I'll throw James in there, but he's probably only has like 50 carries the entire year. All those guys, we like them. They're fine. I think we're seeing they were much better because a quarterback was an absolute threat to run the ball and pass the ball. And now he's kind of definitely not a threat to run it. It just, I don't know, man. Again, I'm not a football expert, but fucking punt the ball. Just fucking punt the ball. No momentum. And the only reason you got it to fourth and one is you made some like miracle, like, oh shit, I somehow caught this ball. It just, nothing was working. Sometimes kids just need to learn to reset. And again, I will say, I've said before, I will, as a general preference, I will always take a coach who is aggressive over that is, you know, super conservative. But God, man, like, how do you look at what's happened lately and just keep doing the same thing?
And like, to your point,
this season is a failure now. This season is an absolute failure. I don't care about the Holiday Bowl.
Like, losses to your rivals, Washington and Oregon State, cannot happen.
Do you care about the Sun Bowl that they're going to play in?
No. Of course not.
It was all there in front of them 2 weeks ago. Okay, it happened. Learn from it. Grow. Holy shit, guys. Like, I thought the Washington loss was terrible. And I was like, oh, whatever. Okay. But Penix was making throws. Oregon State didn't do anything special. It was just the defense sucks.
No.
And then Oregon was fucking up.
Oregon handed it to them. Like,
absolutely.
Oregon handed them this game.
You could make the case they handed the game to Washington, too, with fumbling at the one and then the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But this was just silver platter. Like, just a fucking silver platter of Jonathan Smith didn't do anything cool either. Like, he didn't do anything awesome. He's going to get – I mean – John Canzano is already just penning this like glowing, you know, I'm sure. He didn't do anything special. He was just like, oh, I'm going to watch Oregon fuck up a bunch.
Yep. Here, I'm just going to get out of your way and let you ruin yourself.
And let you fuck up for...
So, and to your point, by the way, like the reset button, like hitting the reset button, that's why you have them punt. Because all it takes in college football, we've seen this time and time again over decade after decade, is it takes one play. Like, by the way, one play in this game would have been Oregon getting a tackle for loss. If Oregon gets a tackle for loss on a run play, everything resets. And then all of a sudden, Oregon State might have to throw.
Oregon State didn't even have their starting running back in the fourth quarter.
Their starter or their second string. Like, my guy, like look at what's in front of you and read the fucking game.
They didn't have a third. They didn't have a third and medium even, did they, in the fourth quarter?
It was easy. Short fields. No, that's the thing. It's like they gave them short fields. They gave them the 1 yard line. They gave them the 25 yard line.
29 or something like that.
Man, here you go. You want a touchdown? Here's a touchdown. I dare you to get a touchdown. Oh, you got a touchdown. Shit. Okay. Well, now we're gonna lose. Cool. Lanning. It's on Lanning.
No, Lanning is a bad football coach. Dillingham. Like going forward, the bright spot we have this year is coaching.
Say that one more time.
Dan Lanning hasn't done anything impressive to me.
What's the what? Say that one more time.
Oh, the coaching bright spot that we had, who has his flaws, is going to be in Tempe next year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Dan Lanning hasn't done shit. He's a defensive guy. He doesn't coach defense.
Defense is terrible. Yep.
Terrible. I don't know, man. I was sitting there, and Erica was like, why are you even upset? Oregon just chokes all the time. And it's true.
That's it.
There's chokes, and then there's absolute melts like this.
But they do biblical chokes. Moses sits there and goes, man.
Here's the thing. It used to be Clemsoning. It used to be Coogan it. Do we got to come up with a term?
It's Oregon it. It's Oregoning it.
Like, Oregoning? Sure. Is it Oregoning?
Ducking it?
Ducking it? I like that. I like ducking it. All right, that's the thing. Ducking it.
You watch a game and I've seen discourse where people are like, oh, Bo Nick short of that throw. It's like, well, yeah, he's clearly hurt.
He's injured. You know what he has?
Coaches.
You know what he has, by the way? Like, it's textbook, like, high ankle sprain. Like, high ankle sprains take, like, a month to actually heal. You can't play through it unless you're standing straight up and not running and cutting, which he's clearly incapable of doing. That's what it looks like. And by the way, like, props to him for playing through it. Threw for 300 yards, made some big throws.
Oh, I'm not.
Like, he's a fucking warrior. I love him. But, like, that just seems like what it is to me.
I'm not blaming Bo Nix.
Booble asking you if you think it's an inside job. # never forget.
A second Lanning has hit the North Tower.
Is this so early in his career that it's going to be defining him now too?
Like no, one time, no, no, one no, time no, 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 no. It won't be.
Once is one but thing, but will, twice in
twice in 14 days.
Does this follow Dan Lanning throughout his career when he goes?
No, to people will forget it. We won't. But you know, when SU lost the job in 3 years, they'll forget it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that this is all a non-factor if there's a competent defense out there on this team. And I think that's what he's too used to having that Georgia defense where you could get away with this shit of not getting fourth downs.
You have
a defense to back it up. But when you take all these chances with a sieve of a defense, that's just awful coaching, right? That's not knowing your team.
See, the defense didn't play that bad. Really?
Except for three quarters.
Until the fourth quarter, they kept giving them the ball at the 2-inch line.
Yeah. Like, so even then, they didn't play that bad.
I think Josh Stinks And Tosh should have never been hired, and Tosh should be fired.
But your idiot but coach put me, you in those positions. Yeah.
It's a landing thing. Like, it's just, dude, I just,
so
I don't know.
So
press
conference happening right now, and I guarantee you he's saying the exact same shit he said 2 weeks ago. And so as people who follow this team, we're going to hear him say that, and we're going to be like, I don't believe you. Like, yeah, no shit, it's on you, dog. Like, this was some of the worst decision-making we've ever seen. Like, you lost this game, dog. This is your fault. Yeah, you're telling us it's your... Yeah, we know. Like, a blind person knows, like, that this was your fault. Don't do it again. You told us 2 weeks ago you weren't going to do it again, and then you did it again. My guy.
Hey, is he so bored on the sideline because he's not calling defensive play calls that he's like, I got to do something here, right?
Some people are saying he started calling plays last week.
He didn't call defense at Georgia either. Kirby Smart was calling plays at Georgia. So I'm just saying. Okay, this game was supposed to be, you know what this was supposed to be? It was Oregon winning by 3 scores and us talking about, yo, Chase Kota coming back after what we thought was like a season-ending knee injury. Turned out he just hurt his wrist. Ooh, whatever.
Right.
9 catches, 136 yards, an amazing touchdown. Whittington, you know, establishing himself as this powerful running back. They can't tackle him. Looking great. Bo Nix playing through this injury. What a stud. The Bo Genda. Get him in New York. Done.
He had a hell of a first. I think Bo had like 230 and 2 TDs in the first half.
He had a great game.
But you know what? Here's what pisses me off about Dillingham. Last week, we were just complaining he ran 50 fucking bubble screens to Hudson, right? You know what the most like positive plays that they ran in this game
bubble
screens to Kota.
To Kota.
And they only ran like 3 of them.
Well, after seeing Hudson on special teams, I did not want him to get the ball.
No, like I said,
that one that hit the 1 yard line and bounced straight up, not really his fault, but
I said you could fair catch that.
I don't
thing
trust Hudson
25.
To make a good decision to save his life, to be honest.
So that's why Bucky was back there at the next kickoff.
It's. The whole thing is hard because we tried to really buy in on Dan and them. And it did look from. We saw some warts.
Were we buying in on Dan because of Dillingham's offense was just a breath of fresh air to us after?
Oh, absolutely.
No. It was Bo Nix. It was a healthy Bo Nix who made us buy into everybody involved. Because Bo Nix is playing his absolute ass off.
I still appreciate the autonomy that Dan Lanning gives his assistants.
Yeah.
Where he's a defensive guy, but he's letting Dillingham do what he does. But,
a little oversight over the defense would be nice.
Are you saying Dillingham's the one calling, going for on fourth?
No, that's a Lanning thing.
Yeah, there's no way he's letting that happen, no.
No, like on fourth downs, like I'm sure that's run by Dan, and Dan's like, all right, go for it. But it just...
You have to be the bigger person as the head coach there, because the offensive guys can be like, yeah, let's go for it every time, right? Isn't that just a rule?
Miss me with those Staley analytics, guys. Like, miss me with that. Fourth and one, you got to go for it. It's easy as playing football.
Okay. Just 20-yard line at the 7.
Miss me with that. Mina Kimes, I love you. Miss me with that analytics garbage. Miss me with it.
You're the one that said it's 100% automatic.
Quarterback
Bo Nix, your center, quarterback sneak.
Quarterback sneak.
He can't do it, but he can't do it right now. He can't push off his leg.
So you know what you do? You punt the fucking ball.
Yes. Like I said, it's a one thing if Nix is 100% and you do that. Not Ty Thompson in a hobbled Nix. You just can't do that.
So, but by the way, we should mention sort of the elephant in the room. Bo Nix doesn't hurt his ankle against Washington. Oregon beats Washington.
Yeah,
Yeah, they're 11-1.
Bo Nix doesn't hurt his ankle against Washington. They kill Oregon State.
Yeah.
Like, kill Oregon State. They beat Washington. Yeah. They beat Utah by 2 or 3 scores. Like, it's one of those.
Wait, so you trying to say? Are you trying to say that college football is so dependent on having a good starting quarterback? There's a shocker, right?
Weird.
I know. It's God.
Where do we go from here?
We play really shitty football in a shitty conference from here on out, and it sucks. Because USC is going to make the playoff. Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman because Ohio State lost today. Just the worst 14 days of Oregon football. Just an apocalyptic hellscape that we just wandered in. Like, thank God Cam Rising missed that fourth down pass last week. Because, wow. Wow. And there's enough talent on this team. I we had our criticisms of Mario. No. Mario recruited at a level that Oregon's defense should not be below, like, Ball State.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have... So Flo's a 5-star, Sewell's a 5, you know, someone could be like, well, I don't know, on Rivals, they had him as a high 4, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Sewell, Flo, Dante Manning, like, these guys were coveted 5-star, whatever, prospects. And they have the most disappointing defense in the country compared to recruiting rankings.
Yeah,
it's inexcusable. Make a fucking tackle.
Yeah,
make a tackle.
Yeah.
And today I was just watching. Man, Flo doesn't play.
No,
Flo doesn't play.
No.
Candace, I saw him on the sidelines more with his helmet off than I saw him on the field.
And when he does play, he doesn't play.
I did miss a lot. Oh my god! Like, early in the game, you know, it was inconsequential, really. But man, did he miss, like, filling a hole and Damian Martinez or whatever ran for like 14 yards? Just land it. You're a defensive guy, Dan. You got to do something. You got to do something. You can't have the worst defense in the conference. You just can't. Because when you watch them play, they look no different than the Arizona schools. They look no different than Stanford. They look no different than Colorado. They are just atrocious. They are an awful watch on defense. And they played very well for 3 quarters. They played out of their minds. And the coaches let them down.
It's crazy considering also they might have like an all-American cornerback on their team too.
Yeah, they got Gonzalez. I forgot about Chris.
Yeah.
He's legitimately like a first-round pick at corner, and they
Booble mentioned that in the chat, by the way. He said the only good defensive player is Gonzalez. I mean,
can't argue it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, Dorless, maybe? No, not really.
Big White had another decent game.
Rogers?
For about 3 quarters, I thought. The problem is, like I said, is this a complete overhaul of a defense for next year needed?
Yeah, that was going to be my question too. Like, where do you go from here? Because so Dillingham is gone, and so Lanny's going to have to find a new offensive coordinator. I don't know who he could hire from within. I have no idea. No. I don't think there is anybody on this staff who he could hire. Like,
please currently. God, no.
Yeah.
No.
So now you got to hire somebody from the outside, and, you know, it's going to be one of those guys who Lanning had on his list from, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. And so we'll find out that in terms of everything else, special teams really let Oregon down. We're like not even a year into Dan Lanning. And so does he fire people? I don't know that that's not something he's going to do. You know, he's not going to fire the special teams coach. He's not going to fire Tosh. Like, that's not going to happen. So if that's not going to be the case, what do you do?
Get a lot of grad transfers in on defense, like six of them.
I guess. Yeah.
That's, I mean,
and if, and I, so are we talking about, you know, if is a defensive overhaul, is that Lanning taking over play calling duty? Because I don't know that's the if that's the answer either. Because, you know, Lanning never called plays at Georgia. And so, you know, him calling plays for Oregon would be the first time he's done that. So we don't have, it's not like we're talking about, a defensive coach coming in and saving the day. A guy who's established, and, you know, he was a part of a defensive staff at Georgia that was the best defense in the history of college football. Wasn't really the lead of it. That was the head coach. And so if we're asking him to be the head coach who leads the defense like Kirby Smart is, I don't know that that's...
You gotta assume he learned some things there.
Is he capable of being that? Is he capable of being the head coach and also the defensive play caller? And are we convinced that he would even be a good defensive play caller? His defense sucked. If he's a defensive coach and he's the head coach and he empowered Tosh, the defense sucked. So if he's
stuck at a game caller, you might as well hire someone in to be essentially the in-game caller, and he could just concentrate on defense.
So do you hire somebody else to be like an assist, like a, do you have co-defensive coordinators then? So do you like demote Tosh to a co-defensive coordinator and bring somebody else in?
Do you demote Tosh as far as you can to keep him?
Do you bring in Herm Edwards to be the co-defensive coordinator?
No. Yes.
No.
I live the Herm Edwards experience as a Kansas City Chief fan. I'd never want to live that experience again. I think he went like 6-38. I do not need to see that anymore.
And so then, you know, moving forward for the offense, Nix is probably gone, right?
Oh yeah, he's not coming back.
Safe assumption, right? He gets ready for the draft.
A 100%
Bo Nix is, you know, the best player in college football this year. So I think people saw enough of him, like NFL guys, to where he will get a shot. He's not going to be a first round pick. He's not going to be the first quarterback taken off the board.
I don't even think he's in the top 10 quarterbacks getting taken.
Oh man. I disagree. I think he's like top five.
I mean, that's always kind of random because some GM could be like, you want to know what? I really like that 6'7" guy from Eastern Kentucky. It's just cool. Who threw for 1,800 yards?
Yeah.
But I like his mechanics. So that's always a crapshoot. But going forward, I don't have a lot of faith in the program. The momentum is bad. They don't have. So Nix is gone. Dillingham's gone. And if you want to be a recruiting guy, with Dillingham gone, Dante Moore is not coming to Oregon.
Probably gone. Ty Thompson gone.
You can always hit the portal.
Yep.
You know, yes.
DJ.
That is for sure. But yeah, DJU. Yeah. The guy who threw for 98 yards, say, in a loss to South Carolina.
You guys need to stop saying his name. Like, you guys saying his name is putting it into the universe, and I don't want that.
They'll bring him in and his brother, you know.
My buddy's a Clemson fan and said, oh, rumors that DJ, you know, has Oregon as his top school. And I was like, I don't know if he's good enough to be on any team other than Colorado next year.
Or Tua's brother from Maryland. Like, bring in
he's
Tua's
not bad.
Brother.
He's
yeah.
okay.
He's actually got, yeah, he's got upside at least.
He's okay. But, yeah, I don't know. Some of the stuff I would have felt the same even if they had won today. But,
yeah, what if they won today but then got, let's say, lost by 3 TDs to SC, are you feeling different about the season all of a sudden because they made the Pac-12 title game and lost?
Yeah.
Yes, because you could explain away the USC loss. Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman. We have no defense. Okay. But to not even get there because the coaches are lobotomized, like, just – they're – What's the dumbest animal in the world? Is it lemmings? Are those things that just like walk off a cliff?
Yeah, well, they don't exist anymore because of that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a, yes. That's what the coaches look like sometimes.
Was it the dodo bird? Is that what it actually was? I forget. I think that's what it actually was. Yeah.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah, I don't know. I'm very soured on the prospects going forward, and it's tough. And we'll get suckered back in next year when they beat Portland State and Hawaii and Bowling Green. And
You think they're going to beat my Bows next year?
Yeah, Timmy Chang.
Get out of here with that. Dan. Yeah, by the way, Booble with Dan Lemmings in the chat.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean,
pretty good.
I welcome in our Mountain West, you know, conference status from
also,
here on.
Also
out.
In the chat, koalas have smooth brains. So. Koalas and lemmings and dodos.
I like koalas though.
Oh man, they are riddled with STDs. Did you know that about koalas?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. They're like a herpes.
I believe it's chlamydia.
Chlamydia. Hey, I don't know.
Hey, all you guys in the chat right now, you just learned something about koalas.
Yes.
I don't have too much more to add on this.
Yeah.
Do you guys?
No, let's wrap it up. So then, by the way, like wrap it up on the season. I don't want to talk about Oregon football anymore.
We're not doing the Sun Bowl postgame show.
I'm over it.
Yeah. No.
I'm over just, it.
What a disaster. Just a late term abortion is that. That's what it was.
One of the worst.
And you can get away with it once against Washington, even though, my God, they were outmatched by talent against Georgia, 100%. Like, just, you're never winning that game. But the defense, get a call in on time. Okay. But I can kind of flush that. You can get away with this shit once a year. Twice in 14 days? Nah. I can't just sit here and be like, I think they'll improve. Yeah, I think Dan's going to learn. I don't. I do not think he will.
So you don't. It doesn't even matter to you. Let's say they get, you know, three or four more 5-star defensive players, as long as
I need to see it.
Yeah, like I said, if we're already pushing it, we're already looking into next year now. Right now, the rest of it's done. Next year,
they have 10 players on defense or 11 players on defense. 10 of them are awful. Coach them up a little bit,
and the best one's leaving.
So, if Oregon somehow keeps Dante Moore, then I'll be a little bit excited.
Sure, but I don't see it.
Our last 5-star QB worked out, so that's
one of the biggest late season collapses we've ever seen from this program of a seemingly, by all accounts, good football team.
Just dreadful. Just
amazing. Yeah,
dreadful.
And nobody to blame but the head coach. Really? I mean, an injury to Bo Nix.
And an ankle. Yeah. That's.
That said, nobody to blame today other than Dan
Lanning. Like I said.
Yeah.
They know what Bo's limitations are. You got to protect him at some point. Take 3 points.
No, that's the thing.
It's boring.
That's the thing. You know, like Dan Lanning has all of the information he needs.
Yeah. He watched him not practice all week.
He knows what Bo Nix is capable of doing physically. So
kick a field goal, pump the ball.
Game plan around it. You know what game planning around it is? It's not taking stupid risks.
And calling a play for Bo Nix to potentially keep it on 4th and 1.
Hey, I said I think that was only Nix keeping it. I don't think that was a read option. I think that was a design.
You can be right. And we're gonna surprise him.
No, yeah, exactly.
Well, you didn't.
No. That DN did not blink off of Nix.
Of course they see that coming. Of course.
Yeah.
Like, of course you think, because again, Dillingham, you know, gave away the game with everything he called. It's like that's the most obvious play in that situation on a fourth and one. That's the most, and if it's a read option, he's keeping it. Because they know that you know that he can't run. Like, he's keeping it. He did the same thing against Utah and it worked last week. He kept it. He got 2 yards, got a first down. They know that play is coming. But you put two linemen in motion to one side. Gee, I wonder where you're going to fucking run the ball. Like, come on, man. Like, they did that 2 plays in a row on the fucking goal line situation. Like, Have him. Have him, Arizona State. Have him. Have him. Have your, you know, have your offensive coordinator who's like 10 years from graduating high school. Have him. Have fun. He's going to be your head coach.
Dan too.
He's going to be your head coach now.
Fucking bum.
Have fun. He's going to be your head coach.
Program is over.
You have a child becoming your head coach. Have fun with that.
I'll always enjoy 2007 to 2014, but it's a good run.
Good time. Good time.
I'm over it now.
All right, let's wrap this up. Any other closing thoughts?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ski?
I got nothing.
Okay. Thank you for watching. Thank you for bearing with us with the early technical stuff we're working on. The season sucked. Wrap it up. Put a bow. Fuck a Holiday Bowl. Who cares?
Yep. They had the Wyclef Jean. They had the Wyclef Jean month where they were just gone in November. Just.
That's a perfect place to stop. At TSB Pod, at TSB Ski, at Jeromny. Thanks for watching, everybody. Bye.